Greet you this morning in our Savior's precious name, the one who continues to amaze the Christian as he looks to him and beholds his glory and beholds his goodness and beholds his mighty acts of kindness to us again and again. May we be, like the songwriter says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love us. Love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 13, the next chapter we are ready for in our going through the book of John. I don't think I'll go over the titles I've been using thus far in the book, but I trust that we can continue to allow the scripture to speak to our hearts and rivet somehow into our minds what God would have us to understand and be blessed by. John chapter 13 is one of those passages that has often been turned to in the beginning part of the chapter. In fact, twice a year almost, without fail, we're at least in this passage. You say, well, I know what's here. And there is a sense in which we do know what's here, but it is interesting to me that John is the only writer that writes in terms of this particular part and shows the input of the thoughts of the different disciples and Jesus as he relates to this, and Jesus' desire as he stoops and washes their feet and his desire for them to understand why he did it. And I've titled the message this morning, Jesus, Our Loving Example. The word example in verse 15, for I have given you an example. This word example is the only time it's used here in the Gospels in terms of Christ. One other time it's used in terms of someone else, but the only time this word comes up in terms of Christ. So you could say Jesus our perfect example or Jesus our supreme example. I've used the title Jesus our loving example because of what he says, that ye should do as I have done to you. And in verses 34 and 35, I think, are some key verses in this passage that he repeats in some other of his passages following this. That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So maybe I'm more speaking in terms of Jesus, our example in love. And I want that understood as I titled it, Jesus, our loving example. I would again like you to stand while I read the passage, John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with them. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you, before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be that of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go ye cannot come, so now I say to you, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. All right, you may be seated. I have given you an example. This makes me raise a few questions. Number one, what did Jesus want us to follow him in? Just what did Jesus want us to follow him in? He mentions the fact of him stooping to wash their feet. And he calls us to follow him and wash one another's feet in a literal sense, but in a greater sense. In verse 34, he challenges them, As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. He challenges us with this fact, to love others like Jesus loved us. Now, what is it about Jesus' example of love in this chapter that touches your heart? If you ponder this passage and you think about what all is happening here in this passage, what is it about Jesus' example that touches your heart? One of the things that really grips my heart as I view this passage was his foreknowledge and how that didn't dampen his love for them. And that just speaks loudly to my heart. Christ in his foreknowledge, in knowing that Peter would deny him before the cock crowed thrice. I'm sorry, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. That Peter would deny him, and the fact that Judas was there in his midst, and Satan was speaking to Judas, and Judas was listening to the voice of Satan, and Judas was going to go out and be the one who brings them to him to crucify. That speaks loudly to my heart. Also, the fact that Jesus as Master, stoop to wash their feet. As Lord and Master, stooped and washed their feet. The one who was their creator, the one who was their teacher, the one who was endeavoring to disciple them, he stooped and washed their feet. Now, what controversy had the disciples been having previously that Jesus is possibly addressing right here in this passage by washing their feet? One of the things it seems like he was addressing is this struggle that was among the disciples as to who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and who is going to be next to Jesus. And they were struggling with that. They were arguing over that. And it had been going on. And Jesus seems to be trying to help them understand just what his kingdom was all about. And what was truly greatness, being great in his kingdom. Now Jesus puts forth a test in this passage. And this test as to who truly is a disciple of his. And what is an earmark of that disciple. And it's a challenge to each one of us. As you think of taking a test, you want to understand what it's about so that you can pass the test. And Jesus is trying to help us understand what it's about. But then, as you think of it in terms of living it out, passing this test is one of the greatest challenges we face. The test of love. And whether how I'm doing on that test in everyday living. How much evidence exists in my life, in our lives, as fellow believers? Are we followers of Jesus? How much evidence exists? Now, why did Jesus have no problem calling us to live as he lived? As the master teacher, he had fully passed the test that he was giving. And continued to fully pass it as we go on in the passage in further chapters. We know what Jesus did and what he gave up and how he showed love and how this love reached down. And so I want to look this morning at three main points. First one is the boundaries of Jesus' love as brought out in this passage. And then some of the basics in terms of what this love involves. And as you think of the basic callings of this love, and then as we go forward and see yet the beauty of this love, I trust this morning some thought, something can stick with each one of us that will challenge us in terms of Christ's example of love. As I think of the boundaries of Jesus' love, verse 1 brings this out. There's two phrases there that really grip my heart as I read this passage. First one, it says, having loved his own which were in the world. And then the second one, he loved them unto the end. The boundaries of Jesus' love. Having loved his own. Now, who were these individuals? They were individuals that God had given to him to teach and to disciple. They were individuals that had willingly come and followed him. They were the individuals that God had called him to serve. They were the individuals that had a lot of growth needed in their lives. And they challenged his patience, you might say, again and again. Now, who does God call you to serve today? How is this any different in our own lives? God places within our realm of influence those whom he puts right there before us and he calls us to serve. He calls us to serve in our family. He calls us to serve one another as husband and wives. He calls us to reach out and serve our sons and our daughters. He calls us to reach out and serve our church family, those whom he has put there surrounding us. He loved his own, the boundaries of Jesus' love. They reached right there, right out into those whom were his own. And he continued to especially teach his disciples by love. Love spelled patience, as he related to Peter and his shortcomings and his quick-fired temper, you might say, and his trying to get this figured out, and he couldn't get it figured out. Well, Jesus, why are you doing this? Well, if you're doing that because of this, well, then please do everything. You know, Peter was slowly comprehending, but Jesus continued to try to teach him and try to help him understand, and his patience in dealing with that. And that's the same way as we relate to our little children and the patience needed, and patience in relating to our brethren. Patience as we continue to reach out in love. The purpose of Jesus' love was what? Was to bring them to the Father. The purpose of love in our hearts today should be to bring all men to the Father. And Jesus continued to reach out in love to his own. But notice also how long he loved. The boundaries of Jesus' love. Not only were those he influenced, but it says he loved them unto the end. This was his lifelong mission. He had no greater calling while here on this earth. He illustrated no greater purpose than what love moved him to do. He calls us to no greater footsteps than what he has outlined for us. Can we follow in Jesus' steps? Was this easy for Jesus to do? Or was this hard for Jesus to do? To love them unto the end. Didn't this spell continual sacrifice? Didn't this spell giving up his life for them? He knew what was to come. It's amazing to me that he writes in verse 31, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." Why didn't he say, "Now is the Son of Man about to be crucified"? He flips that picture around to the glory surrounding it rather than to the pain of the situation. And I'm amazed. That is because he truly understood sacrifice. And he was not ashamed to sacrifice because there was a joy set before him, like the Hebrew writer says there in Hebrews 12, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He saw it as glory to sacrifice. He loved his own unto the end. When did Jesus stop sacrificing? Well, we know he did right unto the end, and he continues to intervene on our behalf today. But as you're thinking of that in that verse, he loved them unto the end. The boundaries of Jesus' love. As he reaches out to those whom God had placed in his life, the Jews especially, as he reaches out to them as a nation, and as he reaches out here to his disciples and loves them unto the end. Secondly, the basic callings of such love. Jesus, our loving example. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus teach by his example? As he humbled himself and washed their feet, Jesus calls us to this basic calling of humility in our lives. Humility has to do with how we position ourselves against others. Has to do with this level we place ourselves on. When that gets out of balance, we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. When humility is present in the life, it is no problem for us to think of ourselves as servants to others. And Jesus portrays that. Christ's humility didn't remove his position as their master and Lord, but it reinforced his true character reinforced his true greatness of character. You know, we sometimes think that if I do that, that's going to lower my, that's below my dignity. but it only reinforced his true greatness of character as he stooped there that day and washed their feet. We get that all upside down in our thinking. As children, we grow up and think, when I get bigger, then I won't need to do the lowly tasks anymore. And as adults, we somehow want to think that too. And Jesus confronts the me first attitude by his example. And he challenges us with this thought of humble yourself and serve your brethren. A basic calling of love, of such love. Secondly, another basic calling of such love is this: willingly choose to be a servant. Jesus willingly chose to be a servant. Now, it's one thing to serve, and it's another thing to willingly choose to serve. There's a big difference. There's a big difference in our lives as we grow in understanding that. What was involved for Jesus to willingly choose to be a servant? It involved being willing to be hurt by those he loved. Yes, he washed Judas' feet, and Judas went out and hurt him. Jesus knew all about what Judas would do, and yet he still washed his feet. Possibly God will have us tested in that area as well. Whether we're willing to be possibly hurt by those we seek to serve is a test. It's one of the basic callings of such love. Secondly, in terms of that, willingly choose to be a servant. Jesus seemingly had a lot of forethought. We know he did as the Son of God. But he looked beyond the present challenges to the future potentials. As he relates to Peter, he looks beyond the present challenges of trying to teach him and trying to help him to be loyal and trying to help him to understand what this is all about, why he's here, to the potential that Peter was for the kingdom. And he moved with that. And we'd need to do the same. Willingly choosing to be a servant will cause us to look beyond the present challenges of those we're relating with to their future potential. Peter learned from Jesus' example of loving service. Peter learned some of the best lessons he learned from Jesus' example by showing him loving service. Peter's heart was touched. You know, as Jesus was there in some of the chapters coming up and Peter denies him, Jesus only had to turn his head and look at him and remind him. He didn't even have to say anything to him. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. But Jesus inspired them all by his example of love. And that example still challenges us today. As he inspires his followers by his example, let's willingly choose to be a servant as Jesus did. I'd like to enter now into the third part of the message, the beauty of this love. The beauty of this love. This kind of love is beautiful because of its divine origin. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. A new commandment I give unto you. It comes not by being self-assertive, but by being divinely inspired. Yes. When we quit pushing self, and we focus on the one who is teaching us, then there is beauty that comes out of our lives. It's of divine origin. God, the source of all love, like 1 John 4 talks about. And Jesus, as he says, I give this new commandment unto you. Secondly, it's beautiful because of whose mark or stamp or influence is easily recognized in the lives of those that possess this. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Ye are my disciples. That emphasis there. He says they're going to know you're attached to me. And it's beautiful as I think of that because of whose stamp is on the life, whose mark is on the life, whose influence is being shared and recognized by those who have this love. Thirdly, the beauty of this love. This love leaves no one who is within its influence outside its grasp. One another, that ye love one another. Judas was given the sop. No one inside his level of influence was outside his grasp of love. As he dishes into that dish and uses that morsel of bread and puts that food there on that bread and gives it to Judas, the one who was going to betray him. This love leaves no one who is within its influence outside its grasp. Judas couldn't ever point a finger at Jesus and say, Jesus, you didn't show me love. That's why I denied you. He can't do that. Master, you didn't even care at all about me. He couldn't do that. Jesus did all he could to win the favor of Judas and to win him for God. Do you think he prayed for him like he prayed for Peter? I believe he did. Because that fits within the heart of God, who would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So he left no one outside his grasp of love. Not even those who were trying to hurt him. He reached out and shared his love with them. Fourthly, as I think of the beauty of this love, I think of this love and its powerful testimony. As I have loved you. This love is powerful in its testimony. There is no greater testimony. There is no greater example. There is no pure witness needed. There was no more powerful language ever spoken than what Jesus did there as he left us example. As he, the Son of God, stooped. As he, their Master and Lord, stooped and washed their feet. As he showed love to each one of them as he faced the cross. This love is powerful in its testimony. As I have loved you. That's what he calls us to in terms of example. Fifthly, we see in verse 21, this love is troubled by the poor choices of others. He was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Jesus didn't want to see Judas listening to Satan's whispers in verse 2. The devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. This love was still reaching out in warning to a hardened heart. One of you shall betray me. I don't think Judas had really believe the realities of what his intents were and how terrible they were. And Jesus is trying to wake him up. One of you shall betray me. And Judas knew his intentions. But the impact of those intentions, this love still reached out in warning as Jesus is troubled by the poor choices of others and endeavors to challenge his disciples in terms of that. This love kindly addresses the self-confident. Sixth point. As I think of the beauty of this love, this love kindly addressed the self-confident. Peter is who I'm thinking of, especially in verses 8 and verse 38. Why? Why did Jesus address him? Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. And then in verse 38, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? You're not going to do this. Cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Was Jesus trying to squash his verbal assent or his verbal commitment? Lord, whither thou? Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. No, Jesus wasn't trying to squash his verbal commitment, but he wanted a deeper love to grow in Peter's heart. As he reaches out to him and he kindly addresses his self-confidence. Jesus, in his love for Peter and his concern for Peter, addressed that self-confidence. Seventh thing I see as I think of the beauty of this love, I've referred to already. This love allows time for growth and understanding to take place within. He told them ahead of time in verse 19, now I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. So he tells them what the scripture had to say in terms of verse 18, so that when this is all over, it's proof again to them of what is going on, that he is the Messiah, and that they should believe on him. So he tells them ahead of time so they'd remember and grasp it later on. You know, love and patience are inseparable. Jesus never stopped loving them because they didn't catch on yet. But he kept doing all he could to help them fully believe. And that needs to be a motivating factor in our own lives as we share God's love with others, to help them grow in their love for God. Not only is it a blessing for our own lives, but the purpose of sharing God's love is to inspire love in the lives of others. That's the real purpose that needs to be behind it in our lives. Because of who we are trying to glorify. And that is a lifelong challenge. To inspire love in the hearts of our children. To inspire love in those we go to church with. Our fellow believers. To inspire that love. And to patiently reach out and help. And allow time for growth and understanding to take place. We're not all mature in one day. None of us are. We're growing in that maturity. And as we relate to one another in love, we can inspire that on and help one another to grow and fully believe. Well, these are some thoughts that I draw as I go through this passage. The boundaries still reach to us in this time. God loves us. God loves us. The basic callings of this love still administer to our hearts' needs. They haven't changed. He's calling us to humble ourselves and follow him and serve. The beauty of this love is still desired by God to grow in each of our hearts and lives. The beauty of his love. And it is still growing in the lives of each one of you as you truly seek to be like Jesus. It is growing. And the world is looking on, and the test is being passed today in each one of our lives. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The challenge is before us. Our journey is still en route. How will we pass the test? Is God's love growing in our hearts? Is Jesus' example speaking to us continually and calling us to that life of service and self-denial and sacrifice for Him? Shall we kneel? Thank you, Lord, again for this passage of Scripture that speaks loudly to our hearts, Father, as we see your example set before us in your life. Your willingness to serve those disciples. Your willingness, Lord, to teach patiently and to do what all you could to instill a desire of growth in their hearts and lives to follow you. And you are still calling forth with that message to us today, follow me. We want, Lord, to follow you in this, yes, in this lesson of love. As you related, Father, to Judas, as you related to Peter and all the disciples, Lord, we too have had to relate to some hurtful situations in our lives. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to have that forgiving love flowing through our hearts and lives that continues to reach out to all that are within our grasp and share that divine influence on the heart that you have had on us. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would forgive us, Lord, for where we have been selfish, where we have not allowed your love to grow there. And continue, Lord, to perfect your image in our lives as we come to you to be taught, and as we come to you to learn, and as we heed the directives of thy word. Father, we pray, Lord, that the testimony of this group of Christians would speak loudly to the world around us. We're blessed, Lord, by the influence of others in our lives, by the Christian examples that we've seen in the lives of our brethren and sisters. Bless each one for that, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord, in our resolve to be a light to this world, and to point others to you, Father, and to win them by love. In Jesus' name we pray.